Jim McGovern, you know, there's a big debate now that he who has the gold rules, and people make tremendous amounts of money to run for political office. And, you know, sometimes $30 million, $40 million a year in New York to run for a governorship. But here's blue state Massachusetts, and you've got a fairly liberal legislature. Why don't they pass it?
Well, the legislature, for the state legislative candidates, you know, there are limits to how much people can give to them. And there's stronger controls on the state level than there is on the federal level.
Right.
But for people like, you know, running for Congress or Senate or president, you know, we need to, you know, I mean, we need a new Supreme Court or we need to have a constitutional amendment, because the Supreme Court has ruled that a lot of the campaign finance reforms that we all think are necessary, they claim are unconstitutional. Now, I think, you know, the state could even go further as well and put caps on how much can be spent on governor's races, you know, which may be something we should look at. Look, my view on all this is that, you know, money is corrupting our political system. And, you know, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse every year. And I've introduced two constitutional amendments, one that would give Congress the ability to put caps on how much could be spent in campaigns, put other limits on contributions, and another that would say quite explicitly that corporations are not people. But the process of trying to get a constitutional amendment passed, supermajorities in the House, you know, going through the state ratification process, is an uphill battle. Now, the good news is we have, I heard one presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, talk about the need for a constitutional amendment. I think that's a step in the right direction, and hopefully will spur more of a debate. But people need to understand that the more and more we allow money to be the deciding factor in elections, the less and less the average voice matters. And, you know, it's already difficult to get people to care enough to vote in elections because they think it doesn't make a difference. If we keep on going down this road, then that feeling of disillusionment and detachment from government will just grow wider and wider and wider. This is a real problem.
I want to talk to you, since you mentioned Hillary Clinton, about the presidential races. Right now we have, you know, Hillary leading in most of the contemporary polls. Are you sort of thinking that we need another Democratic candidate in the mix? I know Bernie Sanders is there.
Yeah, I think, you know, if people want to run for president, they ought to run for president. If they don't, no one should force them to. That's my philosophy. I think there ought to be a discussion. I think campaigns are an opportunity for discussion. When there's no competition, it's awfully hard sometimes to have a discussion. I think campaigns also, you know, can take on an educational component where, you know, people actually can engage on issues and have a discussion about issues and talk about solutions. And so that come election time, everybody feels that they're fully informed. But however it has to happen, you know, whether or not there needs to be more competition or whether or not the media need to focus more on substantive, you know, issues, you know, rather than, you know, how she looks or, you know, what her, you know, or even on chasing down every, you know, alleged scandal that someone throws out there. I mean, I think people are looking to find out, like, what these candidates are going to do for them. You know, if Hillary Clinton or George Bush or Marco Rubio or Bernie Sanders gets elected, what does it mean for me? You know, does it help me be able to afford college for my kids? Will it bring me job security or pension security? Will we see an increase in the minimum wage? Are they going to do anything about hunger? What about, you know, climate change? I think people are looking to have those discussions. I think sometimes it's really hard when people run for president to really identify those moments when those kinds of discussions can happen.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit because your district gets very close to Boston, and we see the Tsarnaev, the younger brother, sure, sentenced to death. What do you make of the death penalty in Boston, even though we find that people...
Yeah, well, I oppose the death penalty, and I said that, you know, months ago when I was asked that question. I think the jury, we have a jury system in this country, and you know, they made their decision. I think what I kind of regret is that what this means is that this doesn't end. This is going to be more and more, you know, with the appeals and the appeals and the appeals that are going to go forward. You know, I was kind of hoping that there'd be some closure here so that these families and these victims, you know, won't have to pick up the newspaper every day and read about this. And, but, you know, it was up to me. You know, I think he should go to jail for the rest of his life, and that's that. I mean, I'm just somebody who's never thought that the death penalty was the right thing for our country.
Well, I agree with you. However, I want to ask you a question. I just wrote a column on this in The Eagle, and that is, what happens when, after 20 years, somebody comes along and says, you know, he's a changed man. He's now fully formulated. His 19-year-old brain is now, you know, solid. We should let him out because he's a different person.
Yeah, I'm not sure in this case we'll ever get to that point. What I can tell you is that because the death penalty was imposed on him, is that it will be a lot more costly for the taxpayers with all the appeals that are going to go on from now over the next decade or so than it would be just to put him in jail for the rest of his life. I think there are some crimes that are so horrific that people do deserve life in prison. I have a hard time imagining that, you know, in 10 or 20 years, someone's going to say that, you know, this guy is reformed. But you deal with it, if it happens. But I just don't see that as a possibility in this case.
Yoko Ono shows up every time John Lennon's killer comes up and says, "Don't do it." I've always thought about that, which is interesting. I mean,
no, I think it's an important point. Given the fact that there were, you know, multiple people killed, you know, and injured here, and I don't see this guy. I think the sentence would be without parole. I think that would be the sentence he would get as alternative to the death penalty, but. You know, look, it's a tragic situation, the death penalty is an emotional issue. But the majority of people, you know, that have been polled on this in our area, sure. Are opposed to it. But jury made the decision, and what that decision means is that there will be appeal after appeal after appeal, and that we will be reading about this case over and over and over again, and... I just wish we could put it behind us, and this verdict means that we won't, and I think that's, I feel bad for the families and the victims.
Jim McGovern, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, sir. You know, I'm so happy we have you in our Massachusetts delegation.
I love this opportunity.
Thanks again.
All the best.